Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. Actress Diane Guerrero is well known for her roles in the Netflix series Orange is the New Black and in CW's Jane the Virgin. But when she was 14 years old, a freshman at Boston Arts Academy living with her undocumented parents near Eagleston Square, her future seemed bleak. Guerrero recently sat down with Radio Boston's Meghna Chakrabarty to talk about her childhood, her new memoir, and that day that her life changed.
You know, I was having a fabulous day, of course, because I was in an art school and I was doing what I loved, and I got a duet in school, and so I was really excited. And I was running home from school, and then I just decided to call my parents and just to tell them that I was coming home soon, and they didn't pick up, so I started panicking right away, and I just felt something was off. And when I got home, they were gone. It's as simple as that. I came home from school, and they were gone.
And it was just like, your house was empty.
I got home and they were gone. Then the neighbor came by and told me what had happened. And, you know, one of the worst days of my life, of course, I was like, ugh, this totally, you know, kind of screws things up.
kind of in a major way.
So I,
But seriously, you were 14. And
yeah.
I mean, what did you do in those first minutes and hours?
Well, I mean, I think I remember just breaking down, you know. Kind of went crazy for a little bit. You know, I just kept crying and then, you know, kind of composing myself and saying, okay, what's my next move? And like crying again, I don't know, what's my next move? And I called my best friend and her mother, and I just hid under the bed until they got there. I don't know what I was afraid of. I was just afraid of being taken away myself. But I didn't, it was like very, it was scary because I didn't know what was coming. You know, they were coming for me if, like, I was going to go with social services, or I didn't know what to expect. So I just waited there patiently. And but, of course, no one ever came. And so I was there by myself.
Because yeah, you're a citizen.
I am a citizen. But it was also like they didn't know that I existed or anything, because we waited, you know, my friend's mother and my friend waited there with me, and no one came by. So we just assumed that I guess they don't know you're here. So I guess you can come with us.
How long did it take before you were able to speak with your parents?
I spoke to my dad that day.
That day. Okay.
He let me cry for a little bit, and then he said, okay, well, you cried. I understand you're upset. I'm very upset too. But there's nothing we can do right now. So now what you have to do is just stay strong and know that I love you and that we're going to work through this. And you just, you know, we talked about this. You just kept telling, we talked about this. You know, you know what to do.
Right.
You know, to be resilient, to mm-hmm. be resourceful, to be a strong person. So I just did that.
So, Diane, you write very honestly in the book. After you graduated from high school, mm-hmm. You talk about the fact that you went into a very deep depression.
Oh, yeah.
And even, you know, thought about taking your own life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a sense as to, I mean, there was a lot going on in your life, but how much of that sort of was related to the fact that you had been separated from your family from the age of 14?
Well, I think for a while I didn't think it was. I thought it was just, I thought that I was depressed because I wasn't good enough for what I wanted to do. I wasn't a good enough student. I wasn't a good enough artist. I wasn't a good enough daughter, friend, person. You know, obviously I knew it had something to do with the fact that my family was separated, but I was still kind of not addressing that. And I was just putting it all on myself, and that this behavior was because of who I was as a person. And so, of course, when I realized that it was so much about the trauma that I experienced by my family being separated from me, then it all started to make sense. The grief, denial, the self-hate, you know, all that, when I decided to write this book and or even come forth, is because I knew the psychological and emotional damage that my family separation had on me, and how often we overlook this, how often we overlook people in this situation, real human beings in this situation, families, because sometimes we feel like it's, oh, okay, well, they broke the law, so that's it, you're out of here. You know, it's like, well, fine, but does that mean that my story is invaluable? Does that mean you shouldn't care about me? Does that mean that I deserved everything that happened to me? No. I mean, I don't think so. I think that we're a country that values its citizens, its children. We value family. And that's why I'm writing this book, to share my experience, because there's so much more. We're not just, you know, numbers, and we're people.
As you well know, there are a lot of people who feel that way mm-hmm. right now. I mean, the person who may become the Republican nominee for president, one of the cornerstones of his campaign
yeah.
is about immigration. And
sure.
And so, I mean, you're writing this book in a very contentious moment mm-hmm. For America itself. And I just wonder what you make of all the politics around it right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are freaking out, but I don't see how it's that difficult to reform a system, right? I think that we've seen over and over again that we have members of Congress who are stopping reform. We've had bills that have tried to pass, mm-hmm. And time and again, there's a stop. I think that this kind of divisive talk and speech about walls and rounding up 11 million people, I don't think that makes any sense. And I don't think this is the United States of America. Shouldn't we be uniting the people instead of dividing them and the hate speech?
Well, you were invited to visit the White House after you first wrote about your story mm-hmm. in an editorial. So you've met President Obama. You've described what a great experience that was.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious because, I mean, there have been more deportations under the Obama administration than in the administrations of George W. Bush or Bill Clinton.
I hear that.
So I'm wondering how sort of that contradiction shapes your opinion or your view of, we were talking about Congress before, but what about the president himself or the president's administration?
And you know what? And that sucks. It does. But I think that he's had many moments of trying to at least address the issue and pass immigration reform, but it's been stopped at the House. Mm. I'm not here to criticize anybody, and I'm not here to criticize Donald Trump or anything like that. I just think that we should get as much involvement from the communities as possible and get as many people to vote and really, really look at the people who you're voting for yeah. and not just for president, but, lower members.
So before we run out of time, Diane, I have to ask you about Orange is the New Black because, of course, a new season starting in June. I won't ask you for any spoilers, but you write about it in the book, too. Can you just tell us the story quickly about how you got cast for the show?
I just auditioned like everybody else. I remember it was very freeing because I got to really play someone who wasn't like me. However, I did have run-ins, I'm sure, with many Maritzas in my neighborhood. I just read a couple lines and just, got in front of the camera and, pretended that I was going to, hit it.
Well, you also write about how, because you didn't first tell anyone or the world, really, your story until mm-hmm. 2014. Well, that's when you went public with the story that none of the cast members or the crew knew. When they found out, what was their reaction?
Oh, I got so much support, yeah. So much support. I have a very... thank God, very progressive group of people working with me, and we're telling really good stories and real stories about real women and real people. I mean, I was inspired by them to come forth with my story. I mean, everyone has been so vocal and about social issues and using their voice in a positive way. So they were all very, very supportive.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels kind of amazing that the role that you're playing on this, huge hit show, in a way touches aspects of your own life because your parents, of course, were mm-hmm. Were arrested. And now you're playing the role of an inmate in a women's prison.
Yeah.
Does that resonate in any way? Or do you think about that?
Yeah, ever? Of course. Yeah. While working, I would often feel, gosh, did my parents experience this? Or, you know, feeling kind of, I don't know, feeling kind of bad because I was so close to the issue that sometimes I would have really hard days with it. You know, I'd struggle with, wow, am I, like, I'm playing an inmate and I know people who are in jail or I know people who really experience this. And I felt like was I playing with this? Was it just play for me? But I realized that it wasn't. This is just my life. And I'm playing an inmate and I'm just telling a story that people appreciate because a lot of people are going through this. And I mean, we can get into the criminalization of immigrants later, but just like the prison system in this country is so messed up. And that's why we want to bring light to that with this show. And I think that's why people like it so much too, because I feel people, you know, can appreciate a Disney story and a fantasy story. But I think that we as human beings appreciate true stories and stories that reflect what's going on in the real world.
Your parents must love that you've been so successful.
They're happy for me. Yeah. They're just like, oh, we thought you were going to be dead in the street. No, I'm just kidding. No, they didn't think that. They were really worried that I wasn't going to make it. And I think that it makes their, what they went through and their struggle and what they fought for worth it, you know, even though they feel like, you know, they missed a lot and they can't be here and they essentially failed. That at least their daughter is doing what she loves and trying to find her own happiness and helping others at the same time. So I think that their struggle, their pain wasn't in vain.
Do you still hold on to the dream that you might someday reunite with them in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I say it all the time. My biggest dream is to, you know, invite my mom for like a girls' night, you know, and like wake up and have her make me pancakes in my house, and, you know, and drive to, you know, the grocery store together here. And maybe one day when I have a child, you know, her to be able to go to the hospital with me here and, you know, watch my child grow up. Hey, mom, I need to go for this meeting. Can you watch little Penelope or whatever her name will be? I want that. I'm going to fight for them.
Diane, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Actress Diane Guerrero from the Netflix series Orange is the New Black. Her memoir is called In the Country We Love, My Family Divided.